OC's in Boston because he's about a little less than 48 hours away from his fight, which means he's probably in weight-cutting mode right now. Get to that in a minute. Two big stories today. Obviously, Utah basketball with their first top 10 regular season matchup in 19 years. Tim Duncan was the last top 10 team from Wake Forest that the Utes played back in 1996. But the big story today locally, based on everything that's happened over the last 2 or 3 weeks, Kyle Whittingham signs a new contract today. Not an extension, a new contract. Bumps him up in pay, gives him an extra year. He's locked up through 2018. Maybe this puts some of the alleged drama to bed now for Utah football. Glad to be joined by my partner. This would be one of those days where I wish we could be together, but preferably together in Phoenix and not in Boston. Sean O'Connell, the real OC, with us here on his show, my show, our show, the Bill and OC Show. How are you?
Doing great, Bill. You know, I never want to leave you hanging on our show, even when I'm trying to focus on losing, what is it now, 16 pounds in the next 16 hours or so. I'm still here for you, buddy.
Are you grumpy? Are you getting a little agitated with the weight loss yet, or does that start later tonight?
That'll start later tonight. I'm actually en route in a, what is this, an Escalade? Yeah, they're taking care of us out here in Boston. I'm in a big old black SUV headed to the sauna right now, where I'll drop probably another 5, 6, 7 pounds tonight, and that's when I'll get real grumpy.
You going to put that rubber wetsuit on and sweat it out in that sauna, or just go naked?
I'll just go completely naked in the sauna, because if you put clothes on in the sauna, you're insulating yourself from the heat of the sauna. So I just go fully nude.
But tastefully done.
Yeah, tastefully nude.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. A visual like no other on a Friday night. Sean O'Connell, nude and sweating it out in Boston tonight. Ute fans, probably not sweating it out as much. How about that for a segue? The new Kyle Whittingham contract, I didn't expect it this soon. I expected if there would be one, it would come maybe in a few months. They didn't waste any time. Gave him an extra year. It's a new contract, not an extension. Got him tied up through 18 and bumped him up pretty significantly from $2.2 million to $2.6 this year, then $2.7 next year, then $2.8 and $2.9. So Coach Witt's got some security and some nice money in his back pocket.
Yeah, I 10 days ago we were talking about the possibility of Coach Witt walking away from this job, and today we're talking about him being locked up until 2018. This is probably a move that needed to be made in order to silence the doubt and the haters and all those things. And you know what? I'm completely fine with it. He's done some great things at the University of Utah. Again, he's still got to make the right hires for his coordinators right now. But it's the right move. There's not a lot of coaches out there that are better at their jobs than Kyle Whittingham is. And he's a lifer at Utah. I think this is one more step towards him being a lifer.
Do you think that this helps? I mean, we've heard mixed reviews. I had Dan Sorensen on from Ute Zone earlier. We had Jeremy Crabtree on earlier this week. Both those guys said the drama, because it was during a dead period, probably didn't have a real big impact on recruiting. Okay, if that didn't, does this help solidify recruiting?
I think it does, you know, because he can truthfully sit in those living rooms now and say, well, I can't make promises beyond the fact that I'm under contract until 2018. And then for, you know, the guys that are signing now, that's the majority of their careers, or at least that's as far as a 17 or 18 year old is capable of looking ahead, is a couple more years. So yeah, he can recruit kids now with a lot more, I think, earnest, honest promise, and hopefully get the guys that maybe were waffling a little bit if they paid any attention to the doubt and the drama before.
It's funny, everybody was, I mean, I guess maybe this goes to the pessimism of fans as we announced the deal and broke the news. The more cynical fans were asking what the buyout was. For whatever reason, they didn't publish that. I'm sure through public records we could go through and find it. But my guess would be, though, that the buyout was probably increased a little bit as well.
Yeah, that's the give and take of these contract negotiations. Typically, more security for a coach also usually is negotiated with more security for the school. That buyout gets a little bit more expensive. And under the strained relationship that Chris Hill and Kyle Whittingham are alleged to have, I wouldn't be surprised if Utah tried to bump that buyout way up just to protect themselves as a university a little bit more, because, you know, if you don't love your boss and a big job comes a-calling, there's going to be in the next, you know, before 2018, there's going to be an LSU job or an Oklahoma job or a Michigan or something like that that comes up, and Utah's going to have to try and protect themselves from those openings.
Sean O'Connell with us back in Boston, where he's about to sweat off about 16 pounds in the next 16 hours before his weigh-in, and then the fight coming up on Sunday just about 4 o'clock. Anything changed? Everything good with you? You didn't suffer any knocks in training? Nothing's changed with your opponent, has it?
No. Everything, as far as we know, my opponent's healthy and ready to go. I'm healthy and ready to go. Training, the couple sessions we've had out here has gone very smoothly, and you know, just looking to get through this next 24-hour period is the worst part of the fight. I guess it's not quite 24, 20-hour period is the worst part of fighting. You've got to starve yourself, dehydrate yourself, get ready to weigh in. But there's a lot of guys that are sucking more weight off of smaller frames than me right now, so I don't have any room to complain. Just we'll go get the work done. I've never missed weight. I'm not going to miss weight this time, and we'll get the job done on Sunday.
How often do people miss weight? Do people miss weight? What happens if you're 3 pounds over? Do they give you another hour or two to sweat? I mean, what? I don't know that I've ever seen that before. Do people actually miss weight?
Yeah, people will miss weight occasionally, and it's a commission rule based on where the fight is happening, whether or not you have an extra 2 hours or an extra hour or whatever to try and weigh in again. And sometimes guys' bodies are just done giving up the water. Maybe the weight loss was too much, or maybe their fight camp was too hard. Whatever it is, there's just certain situations where guys don't make weight, and it's more of a black eye on your reputation than anything else. They hurt you in the pocketbook too. They fine you, typically 20% of your purse goes to your opponent, and that's in this sport, depending on what you're making, that can be a lot of money. Or, you know, even if it's not a lot of money, it's enough of a chunk that guys who aren't making a ton can really feel it. But it's not overly typical for people to miss weight, and really it's just you're viewed as rather unprofessional if that happens.
OC, what time's the weigh-in exactly tomorrow? Because I want to know if 24 hours from now you'll be gorging yourself again.
Yeah, 24 hours from now I will be gorging myself on sushi. That's the pre-fight tradition. The weigh-in itself is at 4 p.m. Eastern time, so right around 2 Utah time. I will be stepping onto a scale in my undies and stepping off and rehydrating. I've got some pineapple Pedialyte. Looking very much forward to the electrolytes there.
Well, as you are weighing in, I'll be driving to the McHale Center in Tucson and setting up the equipment. And about 24 hours from now, we will be about at halftime. I don't know if you stayed up late to see the results of the highlights on Fox Sports 1 in Boston last night, but it was another dominating Utah basketball performance. And, Sean, now for the first time since December 31st, 1996, when Utah played Tim Duncan in Wake Forest, we'll have a matchup of top 10 teams. Utah in Arizona tomorrow will be an epic battle. We had Kevin O'Neill on the show earlier today, Pac-12 basketball analyst, and Kevin O'Neill said, here's how big this is. If Utah wins tomorrow, they will win the Pac-12 and have a great shot at a number one seed. Who would have thought that 3 years ago?
I mean, it just speaks to the job that Larry Krystkowiak is doing, not only in coaching but in recruiting. The team itself, the program, everything is on the upswing. And, you know, you watch this team and what they've done against Pac-12 competition so far this year, there's no reason for Utah fans to believe that they can't do it against Arizona, another top 10 team.
Arizona lost to Oregon State. Arizona's got a loss in conference play. How about this for a stat too, Sean? There are 5 programs in college football and basketball that have top 25 in both sports: Wisconsin, Louisville, Baylor, Arizona, and Utah. So 2 of the 5 athletic programs in D1 football and basketball are in the top 25, and Utah and Arizona are 2 of those 5.
Unbelievable. It speaks to the regional product of talent, the fact that you can recruit guys to both schools, especially obviously focusing on Utah. And the idea that this year could be you know, let's presume that Utah basketball continues on the trend they are. This could be kind of akin to the dual number one overall picks for the University of Utah with Alex Smith and Andrew Boga. It could be that kind of a landmark year for the athletic department. And it's funny because on a day when you're announcing a new contract for Kyle Whittingham and talking about a top 25 football team and a top 10 basketball team, and again, we're a week removed from hundreds of people telling us why Chris Hill needs to be fired from his job. You don't have to like the man, but the athletic department at the University of Utah is pretty healthy right now, and he's got a lot to do with that.
He really does, and this program's in great shape. Last night after the game, Sean Elliott, Arizona Wildcat, All-American, NBA star. He's a Spurs broadcaster, but he was doing the game on Fox Sports 1 last night. Couldn't say enough great things about DeLon right after the game. DeLon had 21 points, 12 for 12 at the foul line, and had 6 assists last night and just one turnover. If Utah's going to win tomorrow, there's two things. DeLon Wright's got to control the tempo and make sure Utah doesn't get out of sync, breaking that pressure of Arizona. But then Jakob Poeltl and Dallin Baczynski and Brakat Chapman and Chris Reyes, they've got to control the boards and not let Arizona State or not let Arizona do what Arizona State did and get a lot of offensive boards.
Yeah, you cannot give the Wildcats second opportunities on offense. Rebounding, I think you hit it on the head, is going to be massively important. And you know, they've done such a good job of kind of that grunt work. Poeltl, obviously, and Baczynski, obviously, is the big guys, but you mentioned guys like Brakat Chapman and Reyes. Bill, when we started the season, how much did we talk about Reyes in the preseason? Zero, right? Because you've got all these guys coming back, DeLon Wright, this unknown commodity in Poeltl coming out of Austria, and here you've got Reyes, who's just that blue-collar guy that all the great Majerus Utah basketball teams had at least one of those. So, you know, this looks like this has the makeup of a team from Utah's glory days and with Larry Kraskowiak's kind of signature flavor, and they've all bought in. It's so cliche, and I probably say this every time we talk about Utah basketball, so cliche to say all these guys are all on the same page and this and that, but watch them play and tell me it's not true. It's just they're an efficient machine, and even when it's not pretty, you know, even if it's sputtering a little bit, they're all pulling on the same rope, and they're all moving in the same direction to try and get whatever is wrong fixed. And I've got to believe that whatever they saw on film against Arizona State, their own lack of proficiency on the boards, I would believe that they're going to get that corrected against the Wildcats.
Well, this was a game. This is the type of game tomorrow that they brought Chris Reyes in for. They liked his toughness, his physicality, his ability to mix it up in the low block and rebound. They don't need Chris Reyes to score double figures. They don't need him to pass. They need him to get tough and be physical inside, because that's what Arizona does.
I've always felt like every really good basketball team has a Charles Oakley, an Anthony Mason, a Dennis Rodman, a Ben Wallace, the kind of guy that's not about buckets, right? That's the blue-collar worker on the team. And if you've got more than one, great. And if you can get your star players who are filling up the buckets, if you can get them to have a little bit of that in their makeup, like Kobe Bryant has, that's great too. But you've got to have almost one guy purpose-built. It's like in hockey, you've got to have the goon, right? I believe that's true to some extent in basketball as well. And in Reyes, you have that to some extent. You've got that even in Brakat Chapman, although I don't think he's settled into that role quite as much. I still think he wants to score a little bit more than Larry Kraskowiak wants him to. But, yeah, these guys, you know, these guys have to come up big. You've got to have that sort of nasty bulldog mentality, and that's why he's on the team. So go out there and earn that scholarship.
This will be the last time we talk before the fight, at least on air before the fight on Sunday. Time for a little interior analysis from you. Sean O'Connell beats Matt Van Buren Sunday afternoon in Boston. If what happens?
If I can overcome his reach advantage by getting inside, making the fight a little bit ugly, if I can get at least 3 solid shots on that chin, that's all it's going to take, Bill. Maybe it'll take 1, but he won't survive more than 3. I promise you that.
So 3 solid shots, avoid his reach, and get inside.
Yeah.
Is this going to be a quick fight, or do you anticipate this being a full 3?
I think it'll probably be a second rounder. I think that he's going to survive the first, and he'll come out a little bit overwhelmed by my pace and the pressure I'm going to put on him, and he'll try and make a couple adjustments in the corner between rounds, try and finesse it just a little bit more, and while he's thinking about that, that's when he'll get caught. That's what I think.
In the post-fight interview, I want a shout-out for me and the show and Gore, too.
Well, Gore's not getting anything. You might get one, though.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Gore will be in on top of mind, if not top of tongue. But, yes, when you're interviewed by Joe Rogan or whoever it is post-fight, a little love for the partner and the radio station.
We can make that happen.
All right. Hey, have a good night. Sweat it out tonight. Have a lot of sushi tomorrow. I'm going to try and bring back a win from Tucson. You try and bring one back from Boston, and I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And remember, it's on Fight Pass, unfortunately, rather than Fox Sports 1. But we'll be celebrating next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, OC.
All right. Later, guys.